Blog Talk Radio.
Okay. Say something on Facebook. Can someone say something?
Praise the Lord. Pastor. You're coming through.
Amen. I'm trying to see Facebook. I'm going to see what's going on. Maybe I'm doing it wrong. We'll try again.
Blog Talk Radio.
Well, for some reason, they won't let me do it. All right, let's go. Your show. Go for it, brother. Go for it, Pastor.
Well, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Thank God for another day. I like to say hello to Apostle Hunter. Thank God for the great work that he's doing. And I like to say hello to all those who are listening all around the world. I'm Apostle Dr. John Newsom. I'm the pastor of Word of Faith Christian Center Church International right here in Houston, Texas. Come by and worship with us at 984 Reverend B.J. Lewis Drive. Right here in Houston, Texas, our Sunday services begin at 10:30 a.m. and our Wednesday night Bible studies begin at 7 p.m. I'd love to see your face in the place. Well, if you have your Bibles, please turn your Bibles with me to Genesis chapter 39. And if you're taking notes, we'll be reading Genesis chapter 39, verses 2 through 4, and then verses 21 through 23. The scripture says, "And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man." When the Lord is with you, you're going to be a prosperous man or a prosperous woman. "And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian, Potiphar. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight." That word grace right there is kain in Hebrew, kain. K-H-A-N-E is the phonetic spelling, kain. And that word means favor, favor, divine assistance. Divine assistance. That word means that God is helping you, strengthening you, helping you to succeed. That's what favor is. It's when God gives you divine assistance. He shows his kindness toward you. He helps you and even strengthens you. He helps you to succeed. "And Joseph found grace," kain, favor, "in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had, he put, and all that he had, he put into his hand." Now, look, turn over to verse 21. Go down to verse 21, and we'll read to verse 23. "But the Lord was with Joseph, and showed him mercy, and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison." So even in prison, you know, Joseph had been gotten thrown into prison. He was accused of a rape that he didn't commit, and he was thrown into prison. But the favor of God was still on Joseph. The favor of God was still on him, even in prison. "And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison, and the prison, all the prisoners that were in the prison, and whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him. And that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper." When you have the favor of God upon your life, it will cause you to prosper. The message God has given me for those who are listening tonight is how to walk in divine favor, how to walk in the divine favor of God, how to walk in the divine favor of God. Number one, because you see here in the scripture, when you have the favor of God, it will cause you to prosper. And I don't know about you, but I want to prosper. I want to prosper in every area of life. Well, the favor of God upon a man or a woman's life will cause them to prosper in life. The favor, kain is the Hebrew word. Kain is the Hebrew word, and it means divine assistance. God is assisting you. God is giving you a helping hand. God is strengthening you. When you want to quit, he comes and strengthens you, and he helps you to succeed. Now, what can cause God? How can we walk in this divine favor? What must we do to operate in the divine favor of God? Number one, we must favor God's cause. We must favor God's work. In other words, we must get interested in what God is doing. Get interested in his work. Favor his work. Get enthusiastic about what God wants done and what God is doing. We must favor God's cause. Get involved. Get involved in what God is doing in his kingdom here on this earth. Get involved. We must favor God's work and go to work. Look at Psalm 102. We must favor God's cause. When you favor God's cause, he's going to favor you. When you favor God's cause, he's going to favor you. He's going to show you some favor when you favor his cause, when you're interested in what he's doing. Oh, glory to God. Psalm 102. How to walk in the divine favor of God. Number one, favor God's cause, God's work. Get involved. Get excited about what God is doing. Psalm 102, verses 13 through 16. Thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion. For the time to favor her, Zion is the church. For the time to favor her, yea, the set time is come. Why has the set time for God to favor us come? Why? For thy servants take pleasure in her stones. Now, it doesn't make any sense right there. It doesn't make any sense in the English meaning right here. For the servants take pleasure in her stones. That word stones right there is eben in Hebrew, eben. And it means to build, to build. It means to do construction. So the people were doing construction, and that's why God said the time to favor Zion, the church, has come. In other words, God says, I see the church, they're building, they're doing construction, what God wanted to be done. They're doing it. And so because of that, God says, now my time to come, my time to favor the church has come. Who was he talking to? He was talking to those who were building, who were doing construction. For the servants take pleasure in her stones, in building, and favor the dust thereof. They took pleasure in building, and building God's work, and building, doing construction. And because of that, God favored them. He favored them. Glory be to God. So how to walk in the divine favor of God? We must favor God's cause. We must get interested in what God wants. The scripture says in Matthew 6, verse 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, his way of doing things. And then he says, I'll add all these things to you, what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear, what you're going to drink, the necessities of life. God says when you get interested in doing things his way, when you get excited and get involved in doing things his way, he said, I'll take care of your needs. I'll add all your needs to you, what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, what you're going to wear. I'll add the necessities of life to you when you favor my cause. We're talking about how to walk in the divine favor of God. We must favor God's cause. We must get excited and get involved in what God is doing. And when we do that, he'll put his favor upon our lives. Oh, glory to God. Turn to Luke chapter 22. Let's look at Luke chapter 22. I'm getting excited here. I'm always excited about the word of God. I tell you, it's everything. The word of God is everything. We're talking about how to walk in the divine favor of God. It's a powerful thing to have God favor you, to put his favor upon you. His favor will cause you to succeed. His favor is God giving you his divine assistance. He's giving you a helping hand. He's helping you to succeed. Glory be to God. Look at Luke chapter 22 and verse 35. Luke chapter 22, verse 35. And he said unto them, when I sent you without purse and scrip and shoes, lack ye anything? And they said, nothing. Here Jesus is, Yeshua is asking the disciples, he says, when I sent you out with no purse, and I sent you out with no shoes, he said, he put the question to the disciples. He asked them, did you lack anything? And the disciples answered back and said, no, we didn't lack anything. No, nothing. Oh, glory to God. Why didn't they lack anything? The reason they didn't lack anything is because Jesus had sent them out, and they got interested in what God had sent them out to do. Jesus sent them out for a work. They favored God's cause. They favored Jesus' cause. And because of that, Jesus caused them not to lack anything. Glory be to God. We're talking about how to walk in the divine favor of God. We must favor God's cause. Favor his cause. And then number two, we must sacrifice in giving. Sacrifice in giving. Look at 1 Kings chapter 3. When we sacrifice in giving, God's divine favor will come upon us. He'll favor us. He'll want to do things for us. He'll favor us. He'll get excited about what we want and give us favor to get it. Oh, glory be to God. That's when we sacrifice in giving into what he's doing, giving into his work. When we sacrifice in giving, God will favor us. Look at 1 Kings. Turn to 1 Kings, and let's look at chapter 3. 1 Kings, chapter 3, verses 3 through 5. And Solomon loved the Lord, walking in his statutes, walking in the statutes of David, his father. Only he sacrificed and burned incense in high places. And the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. 1,000 burnt offerings did Solomon offer upon the altar. 1,000 burnt offerings Solomon offered to God. He sacrificed in his giving. Verse 5, in Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night. And God asked, what shall I give thee? Oh, glory to God. Now here Solomon is, he sacrificed in his giving. He sacrificed in his giving 1,000 burnt offerings. And then that night, God appeared to him in a dream and asked him, what can I do for you? Glory to God. Solomon sacrificed in his giving, and God showed up in his dream. He appeared to Solomon in a dream, and he asked Solomon, now, Solomon, since you sacrificed to me in your giving, what can I do for you? Oh, glory to God. And we all know that Solomon said he asked for wisdom to lead his people. God was pleased with that, and made him the richest king on earth. Because this all took place because Solomon sacrificed in his giving. He experienced the favor of God. God caused Solomon to succeed in life, made them wealthy, had plenty of gold and silver and precious jewelry and exotic animals. And I tell you, he was wise. He was so wise, very wise. All of this happened to Solomon's life. All this came into Solomon's life because he sacrificed in his giving to God. Talking about how to walk in divine favor. Number one, we must favor God's cause, favor his work, be excited and get interested in what God wants done. And number two, sacrifice in our giving. Sacrifice in our giving. Solomon sacrificed in his giving, and God appeared to Solomon. Glory to God. Solomon sacrificed 1,000 burnt offerings, and God appeared to him, Solomon, in his dream, and asked Solomon, "What can I do for you?" How would you like for God to come to you in a dream and say, "What can I do for you?" That's favor. That's favor. That's God favoring a man or a woman. Because this man or woman is favoring God's cause, and number two, and sacrificing in their giving. Look at, go to turn to Psalm 126. How to walk in the divine favor of God. Psalm 126. Number one, favor God's cause. Number two, sacrifice in your giving. Psalm 126, verses 1 through 6. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter, and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, "The Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south." They that sow in tears, here's the sacrificing now, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. You're going to experience the favor of God when you sacrifice. You sacrifice to the point you're sowing in tears. It's costing you something. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. You're, without a shadow of doubt, you'll experience the favor of God. God will increase you and bless you. You're going to increase. Because God's going to favor you because you're sowing in tears. You're sacrificing in your giving. How to walk in the divine favor of God. Number one, favor God's cause. Get excited. Get interested in what God is doing and the work that God wants done. The work that your pastor wants you to do. Get involved. Get excited. Favor God's cause. Favor God's work. And number two, sacrifice in your giving. And when you do these two things, you're going to experience the favor of God on your life. You're not losing when you're sacrificing in your giving. The money might leave your hand, but it doesn't leave your life. God's going to favor you, just like he did Solomon. God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He hasn't changed. Oh, glory to God. God hasn't changed. He's still the same God. He still operates the same way. Glory be to God. How to walk in the divine favor of God. Favor God's cause, sacrifice in giving. And number two, sow seeds of mercy. Sow seeds of mercy. That word mercy means kindness. Sow seeds of kindness. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Be kind. Be kind to people. Oh, glory to God. I remember I was told as I was coming up as a young boy, I was told that they said, "Junior, being nice will take you a long ways." And you know what? It will. Being nice will take you a long ways. Sow seeds of mercy. Sow seeds of kindness. Look at Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 8. Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall be received of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. Look at Matthew chapter 5. Being kind will cause God to cause you to walk in divine favor. Mark chapter 5 and verse 7. And cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus? Matthew chapter 5, verse 7. Now, that sounds good anyway, but Matthew chapter 5 and verse 7. That's where I want to go to. Matthew chapter 5, verse 7. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. God will favor you. He'll favor you when you show kindness. You'll obtain kindness. God will show favor toward you. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 11. Turn to Proverbs chapter 11. I pray that everyone's writing these scriptures down. Proverbs chapter 11. We're talking about how to walk in the divine favor of God. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 27. But that's if you need any favor. See, I need some favor. That's if you want some favor, this is how you obtain favor upon your life. Favor God's cause, sacrifice and giving, and sow seeds of mercy. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 27. He that diligently seeketh good, procureth or obtain what? Favor. There it is right there. He that diligently seeketh what? Good. You seek to do good to people. That's sowing seeds of mercy. You shall obtain what? Favor. God will pour his favor upon your life. He'll give you a helping hand in life, strengthen you, and help you to succeed in life. When you diligently seek it, what? Good. You sow kindness to people. But he that seeketh mischief, it shall come unto him. If you try to roll a stone on someone, that stone's going to roll right back on you. If you try to dig a hole for someone, a pit for someone, you're going to fall into that pit. But if you show kindness to people, you're going to obtain the favor of God upon your life. I'm talking about how to walk in the divine favor of God. Favor God's cause, sacrifice in your giving, and sow seeds of mercy. And my final point is effectual fervent prayer. Effectual fervent prayer. Some red hot, some white hot prayer. Have you ever seen fire get so cold, get so hot that they turn white? Some white hot. Now, God wants you to give some white hot prayer. I mean, you just some white hot prayer. Effectual, fervent prayer. Hot prayer is effectual. I'm telling you, hot prayer is effectual. You'll begin to walk in the divine favor of God. He'll put his divine favor upon your life when he sees you praying hot prayer, effectual fervent prayer. Glory to God. Look at 1 Chronicles chapter 4. 1 Chronicles chapter 4. We're talking about how to walk in the divine favor of God. 1 Chronicles chapter 4. And verse 9 and 10. And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, "Because I bear him with sorrow." And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that thou would bless me indeed and enlarge my coast." He's calling this. Some hot prayer because, you know, his mother bore him in sorrow. It didn't seem like they wanted him around too much. And he wanted his situation to change. So he's calling out to God, some of that effectual, fervent prayer. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that thou would bless me indeed. Bless me big time in our language today. God, bless me indeed. Bless me big time. And enlarge my coast. And that thy hand might be with me. That God, you may show me favor. That's what he's saying. God, that you may show me favor. He's crying out. He's crying out to God with hot, effectual prayer, asking God to bless him big time and enlarge his coast, and that thine hand might be with me, thy favor. He's asking God's favor to be with him, and that thou would keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me, and God granted him that which he requested. God gave him that favor that he requested. He went to God with effectual, fervent prayer, asking God for favor, and God gave him that favor that he requested. And that's how we walk in the divine favor of God. Favor God's cause, sacrifice in your giving, sow seeds of mercy or kindness, that's what that is, and have effectual, fervent prayer. And when we do these, when we do this, because God is still the same God, we'll walk in the divine favor of God. And that's what God wanted me to speak to you tonight. And until we meet again, remember, 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, for we walk by faith, not by sight.
Praise the living God. Amen, amen, amen. Tonight's been a night. We just thank God for the word we heard tonight. God is so good. His mercy endures forever. And I just believe that while we talk the word of God the most, that the devil gets upset. So we want to beat him like he stole something. So, Pastor Irvin, come on in.
Evening. How's everybody doing tonight? Praise God. This is Pastor William Irwin of Broken Yoke International Ministries. You know, talking about the favor of God, Dr. Newsom, that's awesome because, you know, I just came back from Mexico. I was on a trip down there for about five days, and I prepared. I took some finances with me, and I took a whole bunch of other stuff, and it was an amazing trip. I got to minister to a lot of people on one of the cruise ships that we went on, and there's the whole thing was a supernatural deal because when I came back, I had all the money that I had taken with me, and yet I ate every day. I ate every day. I spent, I don't know, $50, $60. And when I got back, I still had the same amount of money in my pocket as I left with.
Amen.
Now, that's a favor of God, you know.
That's the favor of God.
Amen. And you know what? Even when I went on this trip, the fellow that kept on asking me, he's been supporting my ministry for the last 4 or 5 years. So, in fact, we've done different things together. Remember, a couple of years back, we had the Humble Civic Center in Arena, and he helped with that. He helped out financially with the whole thing that we did over there. But he kept on asking me, and I kept on telling him, I says, I can't afford to go. I don't have the money. I can't afford to do this. I can't go. I don't have the money. And he kept asking and asking. So finally, I just said to him, I said, okay, I guess I'll go. And he says, good, I'll pay for it. But, you know, when the minute I said, okay, I'll go, there was almost like a supernatural light went off. And as soon as my spirit kind of felt that light go off, I went, okay, Lord, this is of you. This has nothing to do with me. This is of you. And sure enough, the group that we went with and I went with and everybody else, they were all from China. A lot of them talk about Buddha and everything else. So I got to minister to some of them. There was a fellow there that he was a youth pastor, and he stepped away from the church. He walked away from the church, and I get to minister to him. I get to show him some things in the gospel and started talking to him. It's like I have a talk on the show here and showing the difference between that of the natural and the supernatural. And I begin to show him the different things that in the book, and he says, I've never seen it like that before. I said, you know, I said, and for the most part, I'm going to tell you this. I said, this whole trip, I said, I really didn't want to go to this trip because I said I couldn't afford it. I said, but the minute I said yes, I said, I felt that supernatural light. It kind of went on. I said, I think most of it was to be able to sit and talk to you. Because as I was sitting there talking to him and telling him about the things of the Lord that he missed out on, in the ministry that he was with, it began to open his eyes again. It began to open his heart, and it began to make him think again and come to knowing that where he needed to be. In the process of doing all these things, one of the Chinese instructors got sick. So amongst all the people there who were there, I walked up and I laid hands on and I prayed with him. And a few minutes later, he was back at it, and he was back teaching karate. All those from China that were witnessing this, they were witnessing the hand of God. And nothing that I did, other than the fact that I went and laid hands on him and prayed with this man, and he was healed. You know, like I said, this whole trip and this whole thing that I went on, I'm not bragging on any of this. I'm just giving you a kind of report what God was doing on this trip. Because, like I said, I had no plan on going on this trip. I had no plans of wanting to do any of this. But then there was another man there that I used to minister with. We used to go out and do outreaches. We'd go down to 3rd Ward and we'd go to 5th Ward in Houston. And we'd minister and we'd have set up stage. We used to have food drives. We'd have all kinds of different things. Well, anyhow, he fell from grace because he had an affair with another woman, and he stepped down from the ministry, and he lost his ministry, basically, what he did. Now, I'm saying this for a reason, because I hadn't seen this man in a couple of years, and I saw him on the ship, and I began to talk to him. And I started talking to him. He said that he wasn't doing anything anymore, but he was getting back with his wife. They were trying to rectify and get everything together. And they've been at this for a year and a half or so, reconciling their differences and whatever else. And I just looked at him, and I said, "Hey, brother, I said, I love you." I didn't chastise him. I didn't come at him and say, well, you deserve it. This all you did, all this stuff, and what you did, you let down all those people who worked with you and all this other stuff. I didn't say anything like that. I didn't have to, because it was already embedded into his heart. He was hurting to a point of that of brokenness. And kind of that's where God wants us to be at times. But in the midst of all that, there's a time of healing. And I sit there and I looked at him and I said, I love you. And he almost broke out down in tears. And he says, you know, I says, there's not that many people who do this. I says, they just don't think I'm worth it. And I said, let me tell you something. I says, the only person you hurt was yourself. He says, yes, I know. I says, did you learn your lesson? He says, yes, I did. And I said, well, then that's all that matters. I love you, brother. And you know what? I never seen that man on that ship the rest of the trip. I never seen him again. And maybe what my whole thing for this going on this trip and everything that I did, other than when I went out and ministered to some people in Mexico, the whole trip was for those three. One was a spiritual healing. One was a natural healing. And the other one was a healing of bringing this man into his mind and bringing him into the forefront of before Christ again and let him see where he needed to be. And each and every one of these, I could have gone one way or the other. I could have beaten them up. I could have told them, you know, I said, you're believing in Buddha and your Buddha's dead. And I could have rant and raved and I could have done all these other things, but I didn't. I showed the love of God, and I showed the mercy of God. The other young man that left the ministry and started to get back into the worldly life and everything else, I could have came after him. I could have sat and beat him up. I could have done everything, you know, to chastise him for leaving the ministry, but I didn't. Just begin to explain to him between the natural and the supernatural, and walking in the supernatural compared to that of being in the natural. Because most young ministers, and I'm not being facetious or disrespectful, most of them, they don't have the understanding. God, unless God comes forthright and just lays it out to them, they have no true understanding and experiences. When I begin to lay all this stuff out to him, he began to see, he began to say, and wondering, and asking himself, why did he step away? I began to show him the different things that he needed to do. Like I said, and then the other man that was broken. Now I could have sat there and I could have said, yeah, but you did what you did and all these other things. I could have rubbed it in. I could have laid it onto him. I could have stepped on him. I could have squashed him. But that wasn't the love of God. That wasn't what that man needed. He needed that sense of forgiveness. He needed that sense of knowing that somebody really does love him and cares, because he was broken. He was ashamed of the fact what he had done. He was ashamed of the fact that how he allowed that into his life, into his marriage, and how he allowed that to come into his ministry. And he was shaken and he was broken. But he needed that word of love, of encouragement. I wonder how many people out there, when they see things, you know, and do things, and the things that come about onto themselves, or that, and they see that of their friends and their neighbors, and instead of saying, yeah, you should have done this, and da-da-da-da, and just come up with that compassion of love, that compassion that God has placed into your heart, because what God wants you to be is like him. And what he has was compassion, because he had compassion on you to sit, reach out and grab you and pull you out of the pit of hell. That he sat there himself and took you by the hand and says, follow me. You see, most of those people who I'm talking to right now, who is listening to this broadcast, they're listening for one reason, is because this is something that it was ordained by God. It wasn't ordained by you. It wasn't because I sat there and posted something on Facebook saying, well, I'm going to be on live tonight. Do that for Apostle Hunter. Or anybody else to having this program. It was all ordained, orchestrated by God. And for those who are listening, it's not listening there for encouragement. It's listening for that, for the word. It's listening for the justice of Christ. But it's also to sit there to know that God loves you and me. And he loves each and every one of us. And he loves you who's listening. He's loving you that even though that you've fallen, even though that you've laid yourself down, that you've stepped away, he's calling you back, because I'm speaking to you. I'm speaking to you from the Word of God. He hasn't changed his mind about you. He hasn't changed his heart towards you. He hasn't done anything to keep you from coming back to the throne of God and being what he has called you to be. You need to sit there and reconcile your differences with the Lord, knowing that you have messed up and you screwed up, that he also knows that he's a loving and he's a forgiving God. Well, maybe you may not be able to sit there and get right back into the saddle and be what you were prior, because there may be that humbleness, which that humbleness, you would come out of that to be even greater than it was when you first started out. Because you know the love of God. Because you know and understand the righteousness of God. That you know and you understand that you can see where you had gone wrong. And you can see and you can understand. And you know that you know that you know that God is real. His love is real for you. Each of us have our moments before the throne of God. And sometimes it's on a daily basis. Sometimes it's maybe once in a lifetime. Maybe it's a fact that we screwed up and God don't love us anymore. He won't ever allow us to be back. He won't ever allow us to have those things. He's never really said that. Because you see, over 2,000 years ago, Jesus already knew what you were going to do today. He already knew what you were going to do yesterday. And he knows what you're going to do tomorrow. But he sacrificed his life on the cross for our sins. That he knew. He knew you before you were even born. He knew you when you were formed in your mother's womb. He knew you. And he knew everything that you're going to do, everything you're going to say, and he knows. And he hasn't changed his mind about you. And it doesn't matter what you've done in your life, what you've done in your ministry, what you've said, that will keep you away from the love of God. There is absolutely nothing. I want you to understand that and keep that in mind, because you see, God is going to call upon you again tomorrow. And he's going to sit there and begin to sit and put into your heart once again, maybe a new direction. Maybe it is you have a job to do that you need to complete. The only difference is between starting that job tomorrow and going forward is knowing the mistakes that you made, that you won't have to go through that step again. That through your wisdom, it will strengthen you. See, we learn by our mistakes. I tell people, I said, you know, we can't fail God. We fail ourselves. And we can't fail God because it's just a learning curve. Because there's things in our lives that we don't understand. And sometimes we don't get it right. But God gives us a second chance. He gives us a third chance. And even fourth, and maybe a fifth chance. But you know, if you're in that position right now, all you need to do is seek God and stop beating yourself up. And not be prideful about the fact what you've done. Say, well, you know what? I messed up. That's okay. I'm going to go on and da da da. No, there's got to be repentance in your heart. You're going to have to be broken. And through that brokenness is only where you're going to be healed. And through that brokenness is where you're going to gain your wisdom and understanding of the Word of God in your life to get you past that point, that you can go forward, that you can continue to operate in the blessings of the Lord. We don't fail God, we fail ourselves. We need to recognize that. And we also need to recognize the fact that somebody who has failed in our eyes, that we don't need to sit there and beat them up and chastise them and kick them to the curb. You see, God never did that to you. He brought you a place of understanding. He brought you to a place and say, okay, now listen up, because this is what it is. And if you have a repentance heart, you begin to receive that. But if you have a stout heart and you sit there with your pride, full of pride, it's going to be worse. Because all you're doing is making it heavy and you're making it hard on yourselves. You need to repent, release that what it is, so you can go forward. But your friends, your neighbors, your brothers, your sisters in Christ who have fallen, who have failed, who have sat there and made a mistake, We need to go to Him in the love of Christ and begin to talk to Him. Tell Him you love Him. Tell Him that God knows. But we don't need to sit there and say, well, look, you did this, and you did that, and you deserve what you got, and you know, maybe sometime in the future you might be able to, you know, and maybe you can maybe understand, blah, blah, blah. You don't need to do any of that stuff, because they're truly a man and woman of God who sit there and made a mistake. They already know. You just stand there and reach out your hand and let them grab a hold of it, and you bring them along, because God does that to you every day. Every day that you speak a bad word about somebody, you're driving in a car and somebody cuts you off and you say, mumble something, you know, and you say, oh, God, forgive me. Whatever the case may be, God's got a pure heart, and He's teaching you and I how to live a pure life in a pure heart. And sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's devastating. But sometimes it's needed. We can't continue operating in the flesh and expect the supernatural, the miracles of Christ. Because the only thing at that time that we will receive is that of the flesh, the things of the world. And we can fill our shopping baskets full of everything of the world. And we can overflow it. And we can grab another shopping basket and fill that thing to the things of the world. And God says all that stuff will be destroyed. But that won't be destroyed. It's the renewing of your heart, the renewing of your mind, and God's love for you. I don't know who I'm talking to right now. Like I said, I just know the things that I've experienced over the years, and they've been, and even the things that this weekend or this last 4 or 5 days on that trip that I was on, and the things that I've seen, and just knowing. Like I said, I could have gone another direction. I could have sat there and threw the Bible at somebody and beat them up because they believe in Buddha and so on and so forth. But instead, God gave me the opportunity to show the love of God and the healing of God and see how God worked in this man's life, that everyone was looking and everyone was talking. And that man that needed something, because he was so broken and so beaten that he felt he was worthless and he would never ever be again to be a minister, that he would never ever again to be able to live up to the standard of life that he had had in Christ, that he had failed Christ and he had lost everything. But yet, through his repentant heart, and through that, he sent a messenger. And praise God, it was me. It was a friend. I worked with this man. I respected him for what he did. And when he fell, I just kind of just shook my head. I said, well, I had no other words. I didn't say, well, he deserves not to have this, he deserves not to have that. I said, what we need to do, we need to pray for him and not beat him up. And it was God who sent me to this man to change his life. Because like I said, I never seen him again all the way on that trip. It was just for that one spark, that one moment, that maybe it changed his life again, that he can reconcile, that he's been trying so hard to reconcile of the Lord and is reconciled with the life, and that with the people that he failed. There's people out there right now who are listening to this radio program and figure they can't go forward, they can't do this, they can't do that. They failed their husband, they failed their wife, they failed their children, they failed their boss, they failed whatever. Well, I've got news for you. If they love you and they respect, and it is that you repented and you sit there and humbled yourself before them and asked for forgiveness. If they're any person at all, instead of beating you up, they would hold out their hands and say, come on, let's go. Let's continue this walk. Let's continue down this road. And if it is that you need to go to another town or another state or another village or whatever the case may be and start over, praise God. Make sure it's the will of God. Make sure it is that life. Because, you know, even at best, you know, Jimmy Swagger, he fell. But you know what? He also still has an awesome ministry. Because when I was in Baton Rouge, I went over and I saw his ministry. He has a college. He has a medical center. He has he does a lot in Africa. He supports a lot of missions. He supports a lot of things. But you know what? He's even better than he was when he first started out, because even when he fell, he himself went through the same thing, the same changes. Oh, how am I ever going to be able to face anybody again? How am I ever going to be able to do this again? How am I ever going to be able to reconcile with the people that I've hurt in that brokenness? He found life. Maybe this is what I'm trying to tell you tonight. In your brokenness, you can find life. You can begin to find the truth, the true meaning of life. You begin to reconcile. You begin to understand. You begin to undersee God's will. You can begin to see how the things that has come about in your life and the reason why they come. And now these other things, once you sit there and get yourself back on the right path and you start walking again, those things are the natural, those things that the winds of evil, the things that Satan keeps coming and bringing against you, you can rebuke it and you can fire it off and you can send it back to the pit of hell where it came from, because you have that greater understanding of love of God. You have that better, and now you have that grace of mercy as upon your life, even more so, because before you were walking in the mercy of pride, I guess I would call it, you were walking in self-confidence of pride, and even through that, you weren't allowing the Holy Spirit to work in you, to do the things that God wanted you to do. Yes, you were with God, you were doing these things, but you were a lot of it. You were mandating, you were putting it together. You know, when I sat there and first went into the ministry, I sat for 4 or 5 hours and I'm writing out a whole thing of what am I going to do, Lord? How am I going to do this? And I'm writing, okay, I'm going to do this and I'm going to get this started here. And I wrote out this whole program. And I pray, and I'd sit there and write a little more, and I pray, and I'd write some more. Okay, what I'm going to do once I get this over here started, then I'm going to take half of the proceeds of that, and I'm going to put over here and start this over here in another place, and I'm going to take half the proceeds from that, both of those, and start a third, and I'm going to take, so that way it would develop itself that by the time I was said and done, the whole thing would only cost 10% of each of the places where I produced something. And I wrote out this whole plan, this whole program. And I held that program up to God. And I says, God, what am I missing? And just as clear as I'm telling you right now, he said, healing. So everything that I wrote, all the plans I was going to do for my ministry, all the things that I was going to do, I took that piece of paper, I crumbled it up, and I threw it on the ground because I realized that was my plan. and I began to follow God's plan for my life. And I messed up. I messed up several times. I messed up on different things. I screwed up on this or that, and I go, God, man. But I repented, and I sit there, and when you're walking in the will of God, you're walking in His grace and His mercy. It's like I said, this trip that I went on, I had set money aside, I had set everything aside in order to sit there and pay for the thing. I went on the whole trip, and I walked back with the same amount of money as I left with, and I spent money. I got to see different things. I went in and I got to see the Mayan ruins. I got to see all that, you know, with a little bit of something God allowed me to see, because 25 years, almost 30 years ago, when I was taking care of my dad when he was sick, I was looking at National Geographic, and I was reading on the Mayan ruins and on the Mayan Indians and everything else. And I got so involved because I would sit in the doctor's office and keep reading the magazine while the doctor was looking at my dad. And I'd go back in a week or so, and the magazine would be there, and I'd read some more on it, and read some more, and I'd go, God, I'd like to go see that someday. Well, 30-some years later, I got to go see it. Because I was obedient to the Lord, and I was obedient to saying, okay, I'll go, that God had provided, because also He knew that I couldn't just go on a boat and go down there and see that and come back and not minister. And He put those people in my life so that I would sit there and be able to minister to them and change their lives and witness to others that their lives would be changed. It doesn't make any difference what ministry I've gone to. It doesn't make any difference where I've gone. God has always provided for everything that I needed. So if you failed, if you messed up somewhere in your ministry or in your life, just know that God's got it covered. God had a plan for your life, and He hasn't changed His mind on the plan He has for you. He's just waiting for you to reconcile, to change your mind about doing it your way and coming back and begin to sit down at His feet and begin to listen to Him and start doing it His way. And I guarantee you, it's still not easy. It's still not all lights and glitter and everything else that you may think and hope for in your ministry or in your life, because God says we're going to have trials and tribulations. But just knowing, He says, I'll be with you through it. That will keep you strong. And in keeping you strong, what you need to do is you need to rely on Him and not on your own wits, and begin to sit there and fall back into knowing that He's going to protect you. And that no matter how strong that storm comes against you, if you're in Christ, and Christ is in you, no matter where you stand on holy ground. So that being that you stand on holy ground, you take possession of the ground, you take possession of everything around about you, and you take the possession of the authority that God had put in you through Christ, that you can rebuke that storm spiritually. Just as Jesus, when He stood on the boat and He rebuked the storm that was coming up against them as they were going across the sea. He rebuked the storm and the disciples said, what kind of a man is this, that even the winds will hear His voice? You have that. When those storms come up, they cannot prevail against you. Right now, just release your heart. Just release yourself right now. Lay it down before the Lord. Lay down everything that you have and begin to ask Him, what is it you want me to do, Lord? I am here. Hear my voice. What is your will, Father? And listen. And he will guide you. He will send you someone to speak into your life. It's not necessarily a prophet saying, oh, today, if you're going to be this, you're going to be that. Someone will come up to you. Somebody with a familiar area or someplace in your life. It could be, say, well, do you know so-and-so from Nebraska? And say, well, yeah, that's my cousin's. Well, that's my aunt. Or whatever it may be. It might be something, but it'll be connected to your life in one respect or another. And that will be your prize, that God has given you a messenger to let you know everything will be okay. That's my word for the night.
Amen.
God is so good. His mercy endures forever. Hallelujah. Anybody
Amen.
Got something you want to say after the end of those two good messages? Anybody got a testimony, a word you want to say? Oh, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Anybody got a word you want to say, or got something they want to something to say what God has done for them tonight?
I thank God for the message that I just heard. Truly, it touched my heart. Truly, this is a time when we need to encourage people and see the Christ in us. I'm sorry if you're having trouble with my. I'm having trouble with my phone, but I've been on mute. But I just thank God for the word. We need to let people see the light of Christ in us. When people they know what they've done. They know they failed God. They know their life is in pieces. So we are there in some way just to listen, to love them, to accept them, and to encourage them. So I very much thank God for the message and the messenger tonight.
Amen. 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 You know, I want to just let everybody know that's on the line with us. For the first time we've been on, we've been live on Facebook. Everybody can see us more. We are live on Facebook. And I want to let you know, God is so good. He is so good. His mercy endures forever. All I can say is thank you, Father. That's all I can say. That's all I can say. That's all I can say. God has been so good to us. So we just continue to bless him, to praise him, to love him, to adore him, to magnify him, and to just take him to the next level. So I was reading, I was studying, giving God the glory, and I want to share something with y'all. Right? Can I do it? Amen.
Yes.
All right. God Almighty, it got me so. When I went to the Bible and began to read, I just want to read this out. When I began to read, I heard a man teaching on it. I went to the deeper depth, and he was talking about the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul's name was Saul. We know the story on that. But we know what God has done for this man. And I want, can I show y'all this three things? Some of y'all already find, already properly know it. But I want to take you to Romans, get time, go to Romans chapter 5, verse 5. Romans chapter 5, verse 5, right quick, please. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Can anybody read it for me, please? All right, go to 5 to 11. Romans chapter 5 to verse 11. Can someone read that, please?
Romans 5
to 11? Yes, no. Chapter 5, verses 5, verse 5 to 11. Amen, somebody. Does not disappoint. because the love of God was poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, who gave it to us. But when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will die. Yet perhaps for a good man, someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrated his love, his own love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, much more than having now been justified by his blood. We shall be saved from his wrath through him. Wow. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. And I read that and I said, oh my God. Now I want to take you one step further. Go with me to the book of Ephesians, chapter 3. And this is what got me cornered more. See, you can read something when you start studying it, to stop and study it. It began to take me to another level. Praise God. Ephesians chapter 3. For this reason, effective working of his power. Oh my, when I read all this thing, I said, Lord have mercy. Paul, he preached to the Gentiles. He was our teacher. He wasn't going to the Jews. The Jews kicked him out. And I said, oh Lord have mercy. And we've got 13 letters out when I went to do my research again. I've been all day long, every day I'm just to that. And I want to tell you, it's not so much what Paul has done, but Paul set us an example of a man who's dangerous, courageous. And Paul said in Romans chapter 1, he talks about that man. He said, God has turned him over to a bad desire. Some people, they have bad desires. But Romans chapter 1, verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who suppress the truth and unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifested in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are no excuse. This is what I'm going to take you to. In verse 21. Because although they knew all of this God said, but Lord, this man is a dangerous man. We heard about him when he killed people. If you go back to the 7th chapter of Acts, you're going to find where Paul was standing right there, gave the stone to kill Stephen. But God, Stephen said, Lord, do not charge this sin to them. Let it be to me. We are living in that time, y'all, please, I've talked about. We're living in that time right now. We got to reach and tell the untold, because the time is winding down more now than ever. I want to encourage everybody on the radio station tonight and throughout the world. If you don't know Jesus Christ, you'll never get to see God. Somebody out there knows what has been preached tonight, how to live in that godly temple. Somebody knows how to walk according to what God has said. Somebody understands what God has said. Somebody wants to know what God has said. Somebody is saying through God and Jesus that you need to come on, get on board. Right now, America needs to get on board with the truth. And beloved, I'm going to tell you something. We who know God in the name of Jesus shall not share at what we're here. Don't be upset. Don't be upset. I will say it to you like this. And I told the person that he was talking to, Jesus Christ is not going to be on the radio station. We're going to judge the world. And somebody comes to me, you know I'm your brother. You know I love you. But you're supposed to say what Jesus said. Because Jesus is going to give us a mandate. And one day, I'm going to get on the radio and talk about that. But I want to share that with you. Anybody else got any statement you want to make a question? God is so good. Amen. 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 Okay, with sister, would you take us out of prayer, please? 5661, your last four numbers. Would you take us out of prayer, please?
The audio quality is very bad. I don't know why, but it's very bad. I couldn't hear hardly anything. It's very distorted. So I don't know if other people are having trouble as well, but
no, okay, can you take it for me? Okay, let me do this here. Let me put you on hold. Can anybody else hear me?
No, it's hard. You sound like you're in a can. You keep breaking up.
Can you hear me now? Okay, go ahead and close this up with prayer, brother. Amen.
Heavenly Father, we do thank and praise you for this time. We thank you for the word that has gone forth. We thank you for your messengers that have spoken, dear God, and glorified you. We ask, O God, for a settling of your spirit upon this land. We pray for these United States of America. We pray for people of all races, color, ethnic backgrounds. We pray for those, dear God, that are sad, and we pray for those that are protesting that they will be peaceful. Oh, God, we pray that there will be a peaceful transition, and we know, we of faith know that your will be done. We of faith know that Romans 8:28 is true, that all things you are working together for our good. And, Father, we ask for peace over this land. We bind the strong man of violence and hatred and the spirit of strife in our land. We pray for world peace as well as peace in every heart. We thank you for this opportunity to share your word, to come together and glorify you. We thank you, Father, that you are able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. And we love you and give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
I love you. I love you. I love you. And may God bless you and keep you.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Thank you.